You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio Show on 3CR, Radical Radio, broadcasting from Naram, Melbourne, Australia. Thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of current affairs. My name's Chris, and we're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio, we're a weekly program on 3CR about bikes, cycling, getting around without a combustion engine, advocacy, adventures, and all sorts of things to do with bikes and, yeah, and adjacent to active transport. And on today's show, we're going to be casting our ears a little bit northward towards St. George's Road in Northcote, and some issues and some historical things to do with that, plus what you can get involved with and also have a bit of fun this Thursday night, which is grand final eve, with Critical Mass moving to Thursday evening and going up and having a look at the area and having a bit of a tour. So yeah, I'll be talking about that in a minute or so, and I have to bring in a little bit of news and events, and I'll probably have a bit more towards the end of the show that you would be quite familiar with in this area, if you ride around the Yarra area. If you don't, well, here's a little refresher on Wellington Street. Now, Wellington Street has, on a part of its section, is protected bike lanes. And at the moment, or I should say just recently opened, is a new consultation to do with the north part of Wellington Street as it crosses over Alexandra Parade into Clifton Hill. Now, the options are open at the moment at Yorsay Yarra until, just got it in front of me, first couple of weeks of October. And the option A looks like the go at the moment. We're looking at a thing called, and you will be familiar with this if you ride Canning Street or the other bicycle superway, which is bicycle superway highway. Let's stop running my words together. What we're looking at here is a bicycle street with modal filters. And probably the best thing to do is get on there, onto the Yorsay Yarra website, and have a look. Now, again, you know, Wellington Street by gauze, that goes back a long, 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 long way to getting even the section between Victoria Parade up to Alexandra Parade done. And I could sit here and talk about that ad verbatim, but that's not the crux of the show today. Now, it's September the 22nd. What is that? Well, believe it or not, it's World Car Free Day, and maybe you're celebrating that in a metaphysical way. It's quite interesting because it did get a push of steam on in the 1990s here in Australia, and it's kind of turned into a bit more of a one-off thing in terms of not a regular event, but in it's got, yeah, it's one of the many car-free movement days. And also I think now it's coming into its own in terms of people starting to think about economic realities, environmental realities, and good old safety realities of, well, car use. And again, you can have a look at all sorts of things to do with Car Free Day. Hope you're celebrating where you are. seemed a bit quieter on the roads today. I'm not too sure whether it was an RDO or people are out there celebrating. I don't know. I'm being a little bit facetious. But to link back to the program I did a fortnight ago with Angelica and Alex, and we're talking about Moreland Road issues. Now, at that point in time, it was unknown whether the police had found either the car or the driver. At this point, they have arrested someone. I don't believe they found the car. We'll leave it at that because it's, it's a case before it's in due process. So we won't preempt any more of that. But someone has been arrested allegedly on what happened on... It's the 24th of August, and it's a pretty terrible state of affairs when it takes up to 3 weeks, if not a month, to find someone for killing another human being and hit and run, which I think is one of the most repulsive things you can do. Anyway, on to better and happier things. After the break, I am going to be talking to Sally from Streets Alive Darebin about St George's Road and issues in the area.
Help 3CR raise funds by donating your containers. Every eligible drink container that you return to a Container Deposit Scheme recycling point earns 10 cents, which can really add up. 3CR is a donation partner for Victoria's Container Deposit Scheme. The scheme allows you to recycle selected aluminium, glass, or plastic containers and donate the funds earned to a not-for-profit organisation of your choice. Help us raise funds for the station. Search for Community Radio and choose 3CR next time you cash in your cans. Go to cdsvic.org.au for more information.
About St George's Road and predominantly the intersection at the south, but also, you know, into North Fitzroy, but also some other issues and some historical issues with the area. Hello, Sally. Thank you for taking time to have a chat about this.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to chat about this issue.
St George's Road, everyone knows, it's a, the cycling super highway of the north and all the way up to Preston and beyond. But there is a problem with it. Like, we had some, there was works done in 2009, but it really has failed to address issues for either active transport and or vehicles.
That's right, Chris. So in 2009, we saw the notorious St George's Road roundabout replaced with a signalised intersection. And then due to some concerns with safety along the route, we saw City of Darebin commission a safety report on the general sort of St George's Road bike path, particularly concerned with the crossovers. So that's also been an issue. But it's important to note that the cycle route itself and through the intersection is part of the main state cycling corridor. So it's the premier cycle route and it's recognised by the state government as such. The issues that we have with it is that if you are heading into the city coming southbound, you need to finish at the pedestrian crossing at the intersection there and effectively wait for two sets of lights, one to get off the trail and a second set of lights with the traffic to then traverse the intersection heading south. Noting also that as St George's Road heads south, there's a really narrow bike lane. It's in really poor condition. There's been a lot of accidents there. We note that Vic Roads and that section of the road has just dropped the speed to 40 kilometres an hour. So it's not a great option. It's quite congested. And then it gets worse heading northbound. And so when cyclists are riding north and they hit the intersection, they have to leave the road, go onto the footpath, and the footpath is narrows and narrows and narrows till we get to a pedestrian intersection where you'll probably meet Northcote High students leaving high school, pedestrians, people with prams, You have to then line up and cross at that pedestrian intersection to get onto the bike path. And as you do so, you're competing for space with pedestrians as well as crossing the tram tracks.
Because you're talking about the St George's Road bridge bit of the arterial. Is that the bit you're talking about?
Yeah, so that's pretty poor. I mean, it really calls out for that sort of section as you're traversing that. It requires some kind of separated bike lane treatment to really improve the safety outcomes there, because there's a lot of traffic. It's four lanes of traffic. I guess the other good development about the intersection was the bike path over the Mary Creek following the Melbourne Water Pipeline.
Yeah, we actually advocated for that a long time ago, because I remember doing a bike count down there in the bad old days and sitting opposite in the park. And people who've got a longer memory would remember you would come up St George's Road from the city bound north, and before you got to the intersection now where people line up on the footpath, there was almost a foot high piece of bluestone. And we argued the fact that we needed a pram ramp or something into there because it was just so insane. People were bunny hopping.
Yeah,
and there was this whole argument of we can't possibly do this with a bridge because of the amount of communications and utilities that go through that bridge. But they ended up doing it. But again, to link back to the actual use of this bridge and the actual thing, was it somewhat 500,000 bicycle movements a year?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely correct. And so it's really well used. It's a great commuter route. It's great for people to get into the city. It also obviously connects the St George's Road bike path connects up to Bourbon Rail Loop works. Sorry, the level crossing works. So you can go up to Preston Market and you can connect through. One of the obvious questions I guess we'd pose to Vic Roads, because this is a declared road, is there a way where we could just connect the St George's Road bike path through to that Mary Creek path? So just have one signalised action where you're just coming straight through, and then you can take that Mary Creek path over the Mary Creek and continue on through North Fitzroy, through the Edinburgh Gardens and along the Napier Street route. That would be a good outcome as well. It would require Vic Roads to re-signalise and rework that intersection design.
Want to become a socially progressive podcaster but don't know where to start?
3CR has a wealth of podcasting knowledge and experience, and we've developed a practical podcast training course to help community voices get into the world of podcasting.
Our two-day in-station course is perfect for new podcasters or people who want to improve their skills and get some insider tips.
Enroll now for our October podcast course.
Full details at 3cr.org.au/podcast services.
Or call the station during business hours on 03 9419 8377.
Enrol now for our October podcast course.
May not be familiar with this area. It was originally a roundabout. It's at the connection, or goes over a loop of the Mary Creek, which is really interesting. And it's like St George's Road goes south, Mary Parade comes in from like the east, and Charles Street a little bit more from the east. Now, there's also a problem with Charles Street. As you come in, you're coming down the hill from Northcote and you want to travel south again. You're in the middle of an intersection when you travel through there, when you're going south. And again, that kind of, as from feedback I've heard from people, gives them the yips at times, because you're completely vulnerable if they're not following the signal.
That's right. And you can see Northcote High students on their way to school and leaving school trying to navigate that. And the end result is people dismount the footpath with their bike. They don't feel safe. And then they're obviously coming into conflict with pedestrians. So we think we can do better. We'd like to see Vic Roads do better. And we're calling upon the local members of the Parliament and Minister for Public Transport and for Roads to really kind of look into that and see what can be done. We'd like to see generally funding for the strategic state cycling corridors, and this would be a great candidate for that, at least to do a study of what the possibilities are.
And also, like, you go back to just relatively recently with the Melbourne Water renewed the pipes along there, and everyone would know about, there was the thing about taking out the foliage and vegetation and putting the palm trees back in. During that time, some of the crossovers were temporarily closed, and it was actually really nice to, you know, use that area.
That's right. There was a study done by Vic Roads in 2017 that looked at community responses, and cyclists loved it because, as you know, as you're riding along the trail, you're getting cut off by vehicles using those crossovers. There's about three or four crossovers up to Separation Street, and they can be quite dangerous. Mm. And there has been quite a number of accidents there. So, yeah, we think that more could be done there as well. It's not good as it is. People don't feel safe.
Well, this is like getting back to some connections and some previous work that seems to have been dropped or whatever. This is part of the Northern Pipe Trail, and even Banyul Council linked back to Derebin Council, the Northern Trails from 3 years ago, where they link into Plenty Road and all that sort of stuff. It's known, but it's not being acted upon.
No, because it's just not. And there's no vision here. There's no strategy for this. We want to grow the cycling numbers for all the obvious reasons that we know about, but there's no way that the state is saying, this is how we're going to roll out these corridors, how we're going to improve them, and how improve safety in response to these accidents and the conflict with pedestrians. So we really need a vision from state government on what that looks like.
Because if they're prepared to do all that work on the Northern Pipe Trail, which, believe it or not, has one of the most major water pipes in Melbourne going through it, as traffic increases through this area, wouldn't you be looking at some good, you know, like if you've done the I'm talking from perspective of someone hypothetically in state government, if the plans are there or their plans can be added to or whatever the word I'm looking for here.
Leveraged.
That's it. Because, you know, it's all these key public transport routes as well. You know, the tram goes along there and you've got the South Morang and they know it, but it's just so many things that are kind of get left when little tweaks and bits and pieces, like what I was talking about earlier, like, you know, this bluestone wall that used to be along that part of the Mary Creek bridge there. And I remember City of Yarra officers or whatever, this is going back a long time ago, actually got up there and fined people for using the footpath. Now everybody uses the footpath because it's been declared share use.
Yeah, it's a great outcome, but it's always an outcome after the fact. So we're doing this project and therefore we'll put in a bit of cycling infrastructure, which is great, and don't get me wrong, but it's not proactive. We're not sort of sitting down and going, okay, well, what will just make these projects or these connections work that little bit better and make it a lot easier for people to navigate what is a complex and at times risky intersections. Proactive action here.
Because also you got that major linkage with the Mary Creek Trail just starts there, you know. It's like it's kind of like this historical anachronism where nothing really links together.
And I just wanted to add that this is also an area designated as an activity centre by the state government. So we've got a Thornbury Activity Centre which takes in St George's Road. So we will be seeing in future a large increase in residential housing provision in this area. And this is a great opportunity to have those co-benefits of a place for people to live and that has really easy access to it.
LGBTIQA+ Multicultural Fair Day will be held in the city of Whittlesea this year. Funded by Whittlesea City Council and auspiced by Australian LGBTIQA+ Multicultural Multifaith Council, the fair will have a strong human rights, social justice focus as experienced through an intersectional lens. The event is held in a safe, supportive, inclusive space consisting of art and skills-based workshops by Street Art Doyle Blender Studio, African drumming, recycled fashion and sustainable gardening, information stalls, food and giveaways. the LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Fair Day, Saturday, November 8th, 3:30 till 7:30pm at the Barry Road Community Activity Centre, 36 Barry Road, Thomastown. On-site parking available, entry is free and all are welcome. Whittlesea City Council is a 3CR supporter.
So we get into the action part. What is happening that people can take action on this?
Go to the Streets Alive Darabin website. We've got a whole page on this issue, and you can click on the information there and then write to the state government and the local member from Northcote, Kathy Ofenis, to really encourage them, and in write to Vic Roads, encouraging them to take action on this intersection. Raise those questions to them, get them to kind of consider what could be done, and then I guess act in terms of putting it in forward budgets for the state government to do something about it. So as you know, critical mass is usually the last Friday of every month, but with grand final holiday, we've moved that to the Thursday, the 25th of September at 5:30. So that's Thursday evening coming, leaving from the State Library at probably about 4 to 6, and then riding up through North Fitzroy, Carlton and North Fitzroy, and then eventually through to the St George's Road intersection, where we'll stop and we'll talk about some of the issues there, and then we'll continue hopefully to the Terminus Hotel for a quick drink.
So which way are we going to peel off? We're going to go up Charles Street, or we're going to head probably just straight down Mary Parade?
Probably straight down Mary Parade, I suspect.
So look at probably the Critical Mass website as well, but also the Streets Live for the information there. Just looking ahead, I think the weather's going to be fine for Thursday. It's interesting. I'm seeing, as like on my previous show, movements kicking off in Pacific areas. Like we've got a petition to state government on Moreland Road. There's also Safer Murray Road. There's all these little things that are kicking off, and I could see this area also being a thing where people get involved and you know, do the follow-up, go to the meetings, go to the rest of it and get an outcome. And also, yeah, I should probably link back into that conversation of, yeah, things for Sydney Road that have been chugging on for a decade and the state government won't act upon it.
Absolutely. I think that's happening across Melbourne at the moment is local groups are really raising local issues, and it's just showing that, you know, that more attention needs to be paid in terms of the transport system in all its forms across Victoria to kind of, you know, make it easier for people to get around. It's good stuff.
Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. Throughout September, we're asking you to become a regular donor. By setting up an ongoing automatic monthly donation, you'll help provide a stable foundation for 3CR. If we know we can count on your donation every month, it means we can better plan and resource our broadcasting. Whether it's First Nations justice, workers' rights, climate action, independent music, housing advocacy, or disability activism, your regular support ensures that these movements and struggles have a platform every single week. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
And you're indeed listening to Yarra Bosca Users Group Radio on 3CR Radical Radio. Now, just to back announce, if you want to find out more about what Sally was talking about, go to streetsalive.org.au. or is it just .org? I should remember this. Whether And I'll put that all into the podcast description. And also check out Critical Mass Melbourne website. That's criticalmass.melbourne for this week's ride on Thursday, the 25th of August. Meet at the State Library Forecourt at 5:30 p.m. And hopefully for an enjoyable and educational ride up through the inner north to St. George's intersection. So we're having a bit of a look at that. If you're older, you can remember when it was a roundabout and it was even more unpleasant. Anyway, kind of enjoy company of people later at the Terminus Hotel for a chat and a beer and some wedges and all the rest of it. Now, going back to something we've discussed on the show a bit over the last few months, there's been a development in New South Wales to do with e-bikes, and they're having, instead of having a blanket ban, they're having against e-bikes on public transport. There's a move towards not being allowed to take a converted e-bike on trains, and I'll just in short from the news article, converted e-bikes will be banned from Sydney Train Link and Metro services in a bid to reduce the fire risk on the rail network. Commuters could face penalties from $400 to $1,110 for travelling with the converted bicycles. And in New South Wales, the ban will take effect on November the 1st. It's interesting because there are legal conversions. I'm not too sure how they are going to do the governance on this. Okay, the ban will only apply to converted e-bikes, a pedal bike fitted with an aftermarket motor and battery, and will apply on trains and platforms. The state government, again, this is New South Wales, made the decision following discussions with stakeholders and a public consultation that yielded almost 3,000 responses. And a statement from the Transport Minister, John Graham, the overwhelming message from the consultation is that the banning of all e-bikes from trains would go too far. He said that converted e-bikes pose greater risks due to the DIY, do-it-yourself installations, adequate wiring and the use of second-hand batteries and blah, blah, blah. Okay, this is for New South Wales. We're going to see if they're taking note down here in Victoria, because that has created a lot of problems for people, potentially a lot of things, because we have a lot of mixed mode and people using e-bikes to make those important transport connections. So, yeah, we're going to see what happens down here in Victoria, because it seemed like they were trying to move this in quite rapidly, and then we had the Engage Victoria feedback. So it looks like New South Wales are showing a bit of nuance in their response instead of a blanket ban. Okay, thank you for listening today. And as mentioned in the last announcement, 3CR does rely upon you, dear listener, either in donations or subscriptions. So go to the 3CR website, .org.au, and look for either subscription, donate, and or some of the fundraiser options coming up soon with events. And also have a look at the Streets Live website and Critical Mass. And also, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the north end of Wellington Street is open for consultation. And I'll put all the details again into the podcast. Okay, see you in about a fortnight, and happy trails to you.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's ride to school programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.